You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini, educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm Podcast. Today on the show, I've got Jason Medley. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent, sir. Honored to be here and ready to rock and roll with you, man.
Awesome. Well, Jason, thanks for being on the show. So Jason has actually put together what I would consider is the premier mastermind group for real estate investors. And I've been in his group for going on 2 years now. But before you got into the mastermind group, Jason, I'm assuming you were a real estate investor. Tell us a little bit about how you got started.
Sure. Long and short of it is I've been in the real estate and finance business since 2000, so I guess going on 15 years now. Started out as a retail mortgage broker here in Tampa, Florida. Grew a decent-sized business there. The market was great. The market was kind of carrying me. I wasn't that good of a marketer, which there is such a big difference. And 2006, 2007, got my first real good butt whipping financially when the market fell. That's when I'd figured out I was being carried by the market, and I wasn't a good marketer, which means, you know, I could generate lots of leads on demand, if you will. And so through the educational process, was trying to figure out what's next for me, and went the short sale route. That was a time when there were a tremendous amount of short sales because the market was beat down, and started doing a few short sales. And then an opportunity came along where, you had to actually wet fund deals when they were flipped. So, you know, a lot of people were doing back-to-back closings at that time, buying a house for $300,000, selling it for $360,000 the same day. And you used to be able to use your end buyer's money. And then they said, no, you got to bring your own. And so that led to really a unique business that kind of got me back on top from a career perspective. And that was a transactional funding company called iVisionary. And so we had a niche funding business where basically we would lend money for a day, right? You flip a house, buy a house for $120 and sell it for $180. We'd lend you the $120 for that day. Your end buyer would come in, take us out, and we'd carry on our merry way. And so through that process, gotten up into the information business, you know, having info products, databases, you know, find private lenders now, a lot of different areas or niches in the real estate and finance space. And through all of that, just kind of came to a place one day I realized I was extremely connected. And that's when I started what I do now, which is the collective genius. I say humbly, very, with humility, I don't think there's a group out there like it that has the talent and the folks that are playing at a level that are in this group. It's very commonplace. Ben, you're a perfect example. You do north of 100 deals a year. There's guys in there doing 600 deals a year. There's folks that manage money funds upwards of $150 million. It's just the top shelf players in the country. And so I just took those connections and started bringing folks together to share, you know, what's working for them. And, you know, Kendon, you're out of Atlanta. You don't mind revealing everything you're doing because the people you're sharing it with are in Dallas, or they're in Cleveland, Ohio, or they're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they're not in your market. So it's a good environment for people to really just openly share their systems and strategies and resources and connections and so forth. And so started that about 5 years ago and have really gotten relentlessly focused on that in the last 24 to 36 months. And it's turned into something special. And I think it's part of the plan as far as what I'm supposed to be when I grow up, because I love what I do. Love the folks that I get to call members, but more importantly, friends. So I'm get to do stuff like you're doing right now. That's, you know, awesome. Hanging out, talking real estate, having fun. Before we got on the call, we were sharing some personal battles and struggles, and, you know, that's the friendship part. So that is my short story.
So you actually know, and I can attest to the fact that the collective genius it's life-changing for most investors that get involved, because you're, like you said, you're rubbing shoulders with so many other people that are doing what you want to be doing it, or doing it better than you're doing it. And you build friendships and you just learn how to run your business better than you're currently running it. I think the platform you've put together is just unmatched. But it's interesting because you sort of got into this business different than most investors, where you kind of started on the brokerage side doing loans and then got into the uniqueness of transactional funding. And I think that wasn't there a time where you were Jason, the money man medley there?
Yeah. When I was out running around doing webinars, promoting the funding business, you know, somebody, I don't even remember how it happened, but somebody gave me that hilarious nickname. it kind of stuck for a few years. And, I think the money man has retired. I think we, when I kind of got out of the info side of the business, products and databases and stuff, I think we put the money man to rest. I still do plenty of loans. I don't have a business anymore from the respect of, you know, out doing webinars and teaming up with other educators. Collective Genius has grown to a point where, there are a whole lot more deals than I have money. And so I just basically lend that money within the group to members on different projects and, stuff like that. So still actively lending on a regular, consistent basis, but, just not on the same platform, if you will.
Sure. Well, so then that sort of brings us to the topic of the show for your best deal ever. I'd be curious if your best deal is something like an actual property that you purchased, or is it maybe a deal that you funded? What would you say is your best deal ever?
You know, that's kind of a dual answer. I think a lot of people would judge best deal by probably how much money did you make. And I made the most amount of money. We funded a deal for $3.5 million at iVisionary. And at 2 points, that was a $70,000 payday for sending a wire out in the morning and getting it back in the afternoon.
Wow.
Had two partners there though in that business. So, you know, basically my take was a little over 20 grand. And, that's probably the biggest deal I've ever done. $3.5 million, funded it at 2 points for a day. But I flipped some houses, some short sales primarily that have, you know, I didn't have any partners, and I've done, you know, 40 to 50 grand on those deals. But, it was always kind of moment we would fund those big massive transactional deals. That was just, there was just always something like, wow, I can't believe that.
I mean, it's such a unique side of the business because it's very niche. There's only so many occasions where somebody needs transactional funding. But you guys come in. I mean, so let's talk about that for a second. You guys come in. Do you vet the deal? You make sure that you feel really good about the real estate, and for if just, you know, by some crazy stretch of the imagination, you got stuck with the house. Are you kind of looking at it in terms of what if I have to hold on to this thing?
Yeah. Well, and transactional funding has had its heyday as the markets have solidified, and there are fewer and fewer short sales. That business has dissipated pretty substantially, but it's still there. It's still out there. It's still needed for certain circumstances. And you do look at the real estate, but you're funding 100% of purchase, you know, basically 99.99% of the time, because the property is usually not in need of rehab. It's just usually being sold as is within a very short period of time. And so you're funding 100%. You think, oh my gosh, that's crazy. But the majority of what you're looking at is the title company, because the way the deal is structured is you have escrow instructions that state, you know, hey, don't release our money until the money for the second transaction has been wired into the title company's escrow account.
Makes sense.
And so who you're really looking at, who you're really examining, if you will, is the title company. You're checking to see if they're licensed. You're checking to see if they have any, you know, if they've done anything or had any, what their insurance claims have been. You're verifying that their CPLs are legitimate. It's, you know, there's an underwriting process that's largely focused on the closing agent, attorney, or escrow company, whoever it may be, depending on what kind of state you live in. Mm-hmm. Because typically, when fraud is brought into that situation, it is when an investor and a title company are kind of in cahoots together, if you will. Mm-hmm. Because I can tell you, mentioning that makes me think of my worst deal ever.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We can shift gears. That would be interesting.
Yeah. We funded a $1.1 million out of Miami, a deal out of Miami that was actually a commercial deal. Investor and title company kind of in cahoots together, and there was no B2C transaction. They forged all of the documents.
What?
Yeah, forged all of the documents. And so we were in a place where we did have title insurance, but the world doesn't work that smoothly. We got a claim, just pay us. No, we litigated for 14 months. It came back and asked to settle for $1 million. And then you have to make tough business decisions, you know, business decisions versus what's right. The business decision came down to, we settled for $1 million, so we lost $100 on the loan. And over the 14 months, we had spent about $110,000 in litigating to get the actual claim from the insurance company. So that was a $210,000 loss, the only one we ever had over, you know, I think the business was probably in around for like 4 years. And then, you know, obviously I had two partners, so I had to split that up. So that was about a $70,000 hit right there. But it's the only one I've ever had. I've had some other deals get sideways. I have, you know, been a part of, from an investor perspective, between my loans I do and, you know, when I had a visionary, well over, a 1,000 to 1,100 deals. And that's the only one that ever went bad. And so you got to judge, you know, your losses from a business perspective versus a deal at a time. If you do that, man, the money business is it can run you off, you know.
Well, it's a great point, because nothing's without risk. There's risk in everything. And so even though your best deal made 70 grand in a day just for wiring some money back and forth, you know, you're still taking on risk in anything you do, like as you obviously found out with the deal in Miami. Oh my goodness. So the loss for the $1.1 million loss,
wasn't $1.1 million loss. We did settle for $1 million, but we had lent 1.1.
You know, and that's what a lot of people don't realize, because it's funny, over the years, I've actually had title claims, you know, where they might have missed a water bill or they missed that, and you're talking a couple $1,000s here or there. I've never recovered money on a title policy, ever. Now, granted, if you're talking about, you know, $1 million, yeah, you're going to fight to get some money from the title company. But in a lot of cases, you think you're covered with a title policy, and it's going to take some serious arm wrestling to get any money back.
Well, and it's the cost of the arm wrestling. If you're talking about a couple of grand that you need to make a claim for, a lot of times it's going to cost a couple of grand to get an attorney to,
that's right,
to get it. So that, again, it goes back to what I was just saying, is you have to make a business decision versus what's the right thing. And you look at the effort, energy, and money that it's going to cost to get a couple $1,000s. Well, if you're going to spend more to get it, then it doesn't make sense to even mess with it, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, that's funny that this conversation kind of turned from the best deal ever to the worst deal ever. It's sort of a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Which is, that's good. It's still interesting, because we don't talk a lot about transactional funding, but it's an interesting sort of niche to the real estate investing world.
It's kind of had its day. It was a big business for a little while, and it's, you know, as the market has changed, the need for it has dissipated by and large.
Yeah, I know in Georgia, in fact, we've done a handful of double closes, and even to this day, we can still use the BC money to do the AB purchase.
You do a lot of cash deals, right? If it's cash, it's much more acceptable. If it's cash, you know, as long as most of the time your end buyer knows what's happening and there's no problem, that's when there's a lender on the second transaction that it becomes. They don't want their money used.
I gotcha. Yep.
You know,
that makes more
sense. The rubber hits the road. As long as in most states, as long as the end buyer is cash, they'll care.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not all the time, but most.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure lenders, your conventional lenders, want to fit inside a nice box, and they want to see, you know, that you've wet funded the thing first. That makes sense. So you have then kind of moved on from the transactional funding. Granted, you're still doing private lending, and you've created Collective Genius, which again, to me, is one of, I think it's the top mastermind out there for real estate investors. Maybe talk just a little bit more about, you know, how folks can find out more about Collective Genius, where the website is, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's if you're interested in coming to check it out and hang out with us, you can go to thecollectivegenius.com. That's thecollectivegenius.com. It is a very selective group. It's application invitation only. Kind of folks know that the message on the site is very, you know, pretty direct as far as, you know, you need to be playing at a fairly high level, you know, in order to come through the process. But the cool part about it is you get to come and check it out, on me per se, right? Like most of these kind of groups, you know, they want you to tally up before you even come. And I'm very particular about, you know, extending an invitation to come on board before I've actually spent a couple of days with the potential member. And I also respect, you know, guy like, you know, playing at a level where you are, Ken, I don't expect you to make the decision to be a part of a group until you've experienced it. So it's, you know, the way it's structured is very different in that the side of it. It's structured to make everyone feel comfortable and to put you in an environment where there's no pressure. It's got to be the right fit. You know, it's just got to be the right fit. So, please do, if you're interested in coming, please put on there. We ask, you know, where you heard about it. Let us know if Ken sent in, and we'll try not to hold that against you.
Well, and again, I give it my highest endorsement. There's no reason I wouldn't be there 2 years if I hadn't thought it was worthwhile. So check it out. You know, come in spite of the fact that I'm in the group. Jason does a phenomenal job bringing these investors together and really helping us grow our businesses. So Jason, thanks so much for being on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. In an effort to get our podcast off the ground and as much traction as possible, we have a favor to ask. And in return, we're going to give you a free t-shirt. That's right, a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt mailed directly to your address. We just ask you to do 5 simple things to help us get this thing off the ground. Number 1, if you would subscribe to us in iTunes. Number 2, if you would like our page in Facebook. Number 3, if you would share our page in Facebook. And number 4, if you would follow us on Twitter. And lastly, number 5, if you would download all of our episodes in iTunes. So initially, we're going to have between 30 to 40 episodes when we launch the podcast. We would just ask that you download all of those episodes through iTunes. So once you do that, just send us an email to offers@dealfarm.net. Give us your name, your address, and your t-shirt size, and we will mail you a free t-shirt. Now, all of that said, we don't necessarily have a way to know if you downloaded all of our episodes, so some of this is on the honor system. We're going to trust that if you say you downloaded all of them, that you actually downloaded all of them. And when you do all 5 of those things, again, real quick, if you would subscribe through iTunes, like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and download our episodes through iTunes, we will send you a free t-shirt. Thanks so much, and I hope you take advantage of this free offer.